I know lately a lot of us have paid attention to the news. Maybe we pay attention to the news more than we should. I don't know that. I know that if you listen to the news too much, you'll be depressed, and you want to be careful with that. But here recently, you may have heard about the laws being pushed or trying to be established in various states like New York, the abortion law, where now it's apparently signed into law where it's legal to abort a baby up to the point to where it's going to be born. Well, I'm always interested in the rationale to ask how people get to that conclusion. We understand fundamentally that life begins at conception, biblically speaking. And so to tamper with that, the human life, is to tamper with God's design. And we don't have authority to do that. And then if we abort that baby at whatever stage, it's then defined as murder according to the Bible. It's willful. That's a willful killing of an innocent child or baby in the womb. But nonetheless, I was interested in the rationale. And so, of course, some of the rationale has to do with in your more impoverished societies or cities where young girls become pregnant and unable to deliver babies physically, and it's a presumption that they can't deliver the child. And so 11, 12-year-old young girls who are now pregnant, if this law doesn't get passed, then the 11 or 12-year-old daughter or child will die potentially in childbirth. And so the moral argument for the left is that we're actually saving a life by killing a life. Well, what bothers me about that is not that that's the thinking. It's always been that way. What bothers me is the young people here that hear that rationale and then they're starting to sympathize with it and then believe it. And then they become confused. And by the time you get to college and you get to be very highly philosophical, that's probably the debate y'all are dealing with. Does that make sense? And that's scary, especially for me and my children, because I want y'all to know the truth. I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to be mean and grumpy. I don't want you to shake a fist at someone and say, I'm going to go blow up your abortion clinic. But I want you to know the truth. Okay? The devil started this from the very beginning as far as perverting the purity of God's rationale, which is his word. When he in the very beginning said to Eve, did God say that thou shalt die? Well, thou shalt not surely die. He changed by adding one word to God's word, something, and thus again the rationale of Satan enters into the picture of God's pure word, his plan, his promise, his way of life. And what I want to remind you of is this: if we will define life exactly as God defines life and live accordingly, God's promise is still the same as it was from the very beginning. You will have a blessed life. You will be happy. You will have peace. You will have difficulties, but you'll have the tools to overcome those difficulties. If you choose to take the rationale of Satan by the additions and the perversions that he adds to the Word of God, which it's always like that, then I can guarantee you, you will live a life of just the opposite: confusion, moral corruption, and eventually eternal hell. Because perhaps in your mind you thought you were being kind to the young girl who got pregnant. And you began to rationalize. And in order to save a life, you decide to kill a life. Well, it doesn't work that way. You can't do that. I want to give you a brief few examples of how this is in the Bible, and then I'll offer the invitation. Remember in Luke chapter 4, Jesus returning from Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, Luke 4 verse 1, and 40 days tempted of the devil, it says in verse 2, he had fasted, he was hungered, and it's at the weakest point in your life. The principle here is at the weakest point in your life, Satan seems to want to come tempt. You have to pay attention to that. And so the devil said unto him in verse 3, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Question in verse 3, could Jesus have done that? Could he have made stones into bread? Well, I would say he can, because he certainly took some fish and some loaves and he multiplied them exponentially and fed the masses. So Christ is not limited in power, but the occasion here would have been making trial of God's word. And Jesus knew that. And you and I have to know that. And we have to know how to use God's word right. And see, Satan knew this too. And this is what's scary again for you young people. Satan knows this. And he's going to test you and he's going to see if you'll use the word of God wrong. Because this is our battleground. So Jesus, of course, answers and says in verse 4, and counters the argument and says, it is written, and he goes and quotes from Deuteronomy 8:3, the Old Testament, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The sustenance of our soul is not bread, physical bread, but the bread of life. Keep reading with me. Verse 5. So the devil says, all right, we'll do this again. He takes him up into a high mountain. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and all the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Again, you may be tempted to have an opportunity put before you that will cause you to compromise the Lord's service, the church. And you may start to rationalize in your own mind and say, hey, you know what? I can get around this. Once I get this established, I'll just skip church for about a year or two, or maybe 4 years in college, because I got to take tests all the time and I don't have time for church and I got to make good grades. And so I'll just set aside God, because at the end of this road, I will get a degree and I can go make money and then I can go back to church. But you see, that would be the same principle here where Satan is saying, hey, well, fall down and worship me and I'll give you all this. Jesus says here, no. That's never an option. Your life is always about seeking first the kingdom of God. And what does it say in Matthew 6:33? And all these things, not Satan, but God will add unto you. So know that. You don't follow Satan, you follow God. Do what he says first and he'll bless you. It's amazing, but this next one really is my favorite. Because watch how he makes trial of the word of God here. So look at verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Now watch this. Now Satan quotes Bible. He says, for it is written, and he quotes from Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And that's true. That's a fact. That's a statement in the Bible. And Satan knew the Bible, and Satan quoted it and says, here he goes, Jesus, you're going to be protected. The angels are going to deliver you. And Jesus said here in verse 12, it is said, countering again with Bible, with scripture, quoting from Deuteronomy 6:16, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That would have been a temptation or a tempting of God, making trial of God's word again to do that. And when the temptation ended here, when Jesus stayed true and faithful to the word of God, did not buy into the rationale, the rationalization of Satan that most people buy into, Satan leaves for a while, for a season, right? But I want to point something out. Even though Satan quoted Psalm 91, And Jesus didn't use it and didn't, okay, let's jump off like some X-sporter, extreme sport guy. Let's just make trial of God's creation. Let's do some of the dumbest things you can think of to try to put our life on the line and just try to commit suicide almost in the name of glory and honor. And I think that's foolish. And some of you might think that's fun. Well, I can assure you, if you live long enough, you'll have challenges in life to where you'll see your life on the line, but not because of extreme sports, but because you'll have to make the right decisions. And I would prefer you make those decisions, but here's the point. In Matthew 4, verse 11, the parallel text, the Bible says the angels attended unto Jesus. Jesus, having stayed faithful to God, his Father, not caving in to temptation, the rationalization, the twisting, the perverting of God's word. Sounds good. Yeah, it does say that over there. Jesus knew the right application, the right way to use the Bible. And the angel still came and attended. He'd been fasting, hadn't he? I'm sure he was pretty hungry. Maybe to the point of malnutrition physically. And Jesus stayed faithful, and guess what? Perhaps principally like that psalmist said there in Psalm 91, the angels were going to come. They took care of Jesus. They took care of him on this occasion. And so who was blessed and, again, who was cursed? I want you to know that this world's going to be a challenge for you if you live it long enough. And if you choose to do what's right, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult, and I'm going to suggest to you it's going to be difficult because of this rationalization. This, well, it sounds good. Paul says there are things called the perverted gospels. People change the gospel up. And Paul says don't do that. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:16, people twist and wrestle with the Bible, the scriptures, and he says they do so to their own destruction. So they change the plan of salvation up, and here I am. I'm now at the plan of salvation. And they make it sound good. Well, all you have to do is believe. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It's not what Jesus said. It's not what the apostles taught. But you look like a nice man, and I'm sure you mean well. And all you got to do is believe and confess. And that baptism is not important. Well, I would encourage you to go back and read what the Bible says. Read what God says. Because that's that point where people start to rationalize, isn't it? And they're close. And I like this one on baptism. Well, you can get baptized later, but you don't have to do it now. That's not what the Bible says, though, is it? In order to be saved, a person must believe, make up their mind to repent of their sins. That means to change your life. That's probably the toughest one, isn't it? Make your mind up and stick to it. That's repentance. Confession comes. Confess that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And then he says, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But we don't stop there, do we? Because the Bible doesn't stop. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It never says in the New Testament a person will be saved before baptism. Satan says that, doesn't he? Man says that, doesn't he? But this book doesn't say that. God's Word. And so we have to stick to this, don't we? And so it's amazing as it is even to this day that so many people are still falling for that old rationalization of Satan. I want to remind you that you better not do that. That's a bad deal. Go back to the Bible, read it. I didn't mean to preach you a whole sermon tonight, but I couldn't help it. I don't get many opportunities, do I? But I love your soul. I love you. And I'm glad you're here on a Wednesday night. And I hope that I've said something that has encouraged you to be stronger, to endure through the rest of this week, to please consider Sunday, the first day of the week, and every opportunity. And if you know what you need to do in order to be saved from your sins, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to become a child of God, a Christian, no adjective before that. Just a Christian. By repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, being immersed in water for the remission of your sins, baptized, to arise to walk in the newness of life, then we're here to help you make that decision. If you need the prayers of the congregation, then why don't you let us know, then as together we stand and we sing, won't you come?